Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, all.
Hello, all. Name 'em.
Name 'em.
We are... Well... we've stuck our feet in the mud and dug our heels in and just couldn't resist.
Look, the thing about this podcast is we're always going to do whatever the fuck we want to do. Mm-hmm. And no one certainly will be telling me anything. But I did interact with quite a few people in the past week who
loved
were like
ones.
Loved ones, cherished friends, gorgeous, beautiful friends who were like,
what are you doing?
Did you watch? No, not what are you doing, but just did you watch?
Oh, I got that.
Oh, really?
I had a mutual friend who we both love say, mm-hmm. What the fuck?
Really?
And
who?
Like, Alan. She's like, can you fucking watch, please? And like, with total...
No one has confronted
with total me. Love.
No one has confronted me with love and light. I pray that someone intervenes.
She intervened on us.
Wow.
She
okay.
said, if you're not going to recap it, can you at least fucking watch so we can talk about it?
That's a fair question. And that's what I realized too, because I was like, I was at a holiday dinner party.
Ooh.
And was cornered by some delightful gay friends of mine who were like, what do you think of the recent episode? Like, blah, 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 the dinner. And I was like, I haven't watched
you
in
went,
like 3 weeks.
And
then I realized, like,
it's alienating.
Yeah,
we are backing ourselves into a corner. We're causing a rift.
There were meltdowns on Patreon.
We're causing alienation with our dear listeners, our dear patrons.
The dearest patrons stuck around, and actually the Patreon's doing better than ever. So, like,
yeah.
It really is good for business,
some
I
people,
think,
though,
to
were...
pull away. It's good to pull away a little bit and then make people, it makes people want you more.
We said goodbye.
Hello. But I think that ultimately, if an episode's good, we can talk about it or we cannot. I don't know. I don't really... I don't want to be beholden to a show that, quite frankly, didn't really get good this season until the dinner party.
Look, I stick with our hunch that we felt like the season was not giving.
No.
And I will admit when I'm wrong, the last two episodes were giving.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sorry, I've been watching the show since 2010. I've earned my right to disengage.
I love nothing more than disengaging with a Bravo show when I feel like it's not speaking to me anymore. And the problem about doing a podcast that's like tied to these shows is that sometimes I feel like I have to say something even when I have nothing to say and my muse is not inspiring me and I want to get a different muse. But then every single time, and this is only the second time that I've like pulled out of recapping something, I did it in season 9 of Vanderpump Rules because it was truly the most flop that fucking show's ever been. And this is the same thing. When I pull out, when I reach my breaking point and I say enough and I set a boundary, the show gets good again.
I mean, we look at
like,
season 10.
Like, what's that about? Well, that's about my power, honestly.
I just saw a video of a girl filming herself doing, like, energetic swirls and a storm came.
Mm-hmm.
And she was convinced that she manifested the storm. And I was like, I love that for you. It's mild schizophrenia, but I'm obsessed with you. So, like, I think you can manifest things.
I honestly, like, I feel like my relationship is, like, I have to be pushed to a breaking point where I say, I've had enough and you will not be holding me hostage anymore. And then the show like gets good.
I mean, look what happened in season 10 of VPR.
I know. And the end of season 9, like the last two episodes, like the reunion slapped. But like that was one of the worst. And those moments really send me through a spiral. When the shows that we're talking about or that I'm talking about, if I do it with other people on this podcast, get bad, I literally go into like a depressive, what am I doing with my life? I'm a huge failure. Everything is fucked. Like nothing's working out. Like everything is bad.
Bravo shouldn't be that deep.
I know. And that's why I have to say hello, goodbye.
I feel like this is alive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, we did that with Tampa Bay's, but that was okay.
No, but Tampa Bay's, we still like came in and we just put 2-1 in the last episode.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we did get Cuppy from that, but otherwise it was a fucking
I know, but that
flop.
Wasn't a give. Like, I feature a total give up and walk away, and I'm really, I have no problem with that.
No, basically the moral is...
The moral is...
We want to feel like we can do whatever we want while also knowing that we can.
No, we can. I can and I will do whatever I want on my podcast that I'm the boss of.
But we heard your calls. We heard your calls for action. And we admit that these two episodes were serving.
Yeah.
Majorly.
And so we had no choice but to come out of retirement.
3 weeks.
Get back
3 weeks
the game.
After retiring from Beverly Hills Angels, we're back in it.
Sometimes you retire early and it just doesn't sit right and you're just kind of old and you don't know what's going on. And then you say, guess what? I'm going to get back in the game.
Should we get into it?
Sure.
Or did you want to talk about something?
I don't care.
I need to make my formal request that everyone watch Leave the World Behind.
Okay.
On Netflix. Incredible.
It's saw giving. On socials that you took to socials to spread the word.
I do. I'm like...
You've really become the town crier of spreading the word about cinema on social media.
Well,
and I
like,
love that.
I only like to talk about things that in that positive way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not going to be like, no, on like, with in terms of
on
like
social.
Movies or like, on like, I've just like reached a point where I'm like, why am I going to be like, unless it's like Bravo, but like... I'm just going to praise the shit out of your movie if I see it and I like it.
I love that.
And I genuinely felt called to action as the people were with us. I felt called to spread the word about Julia Roberts and Mahershala Ali thwarting the apocalypse in an en masse situation.
Work. It had it all.
It had Ethan Hawke. It had Mahala. It had Kevin Bacon.
All right. I mean, I'm intrigued. I'll check it out.
You're going to like it.
Okay.
It serves. But I, you know, I've just been like last week and I've done 2 movie recs on my Instagram.
Yeah, you've become a regular Roger
Zone of
Ebert.
Interest.
But everything is 5 stars.
It is. I'm the great
sometimes
defender.
Sometimes I don't trust you because I feel like you watch TV that is a true question mark.
If I'm going to go on a limb and I'm going to praise a movie,
it's
mean
good.
It.
Okay.
Yeah.
I trust that.
I wouldn't go
I
on
that.
And be like, I watched... Wrath Strain on Prime Video that was made in 2017 and has the guy from Rocky, the blonde German man.
Wait, what did I think you watched recently? You were telling me about a movie and I thought that you watched a movie with like you were telling me about some random movie you watched and describing who was in it, and I thought you said that Adrian Grenier was in it.
Oh, Adrian Brody.
And you were like, because I was like, here he goes again, watching some random movie, like firing up the TV and just choosing a random movie.
It was this movie Mangrove or something.
Yeah, and you were telling me about it, and I was like, here we go.
Adrian Grenier.
And he goes, Adrian Brody. In my mind, I was like, he's literally sitting out here forcing his husband to watch like an Adrian Grenier movie in their apartment. Like,
poor
someone
Simon.
Save this man. Yeah. We need to like extract him.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hearing you talk about it, and you were like, yeah, and it was just like, it was bad. Like, I didn't really like it. I wanted to turn it off. And in my head, I'm like,
no,
well, yeah, like an Adrian Grenier joint is made to turn off.
Yeah.
And then you were like, Adrian Brody. And I was like, oh, okay.
Well, to be fair, though, Adrian Brody's been in some real stinkers since he won his Oscar.
He really... He is that bitch who won the Oscar and then just took a nosedive.
Yeah, I mean, he's a phenomenal actor who just can't get it together.
And he's so hot.
He's one of the hottest men out there right now.
I really don't understand what's going on with him.
He was just so perfect in The Pianist. And I think it was like the role of his life. And then, I mean, he's on Succession.
Yeah, he's good enough.
So he's chic. I think he'll have like a moment again. But yeah, it wasn't doing it for me. And Jesse Eisenberg was in it. And I just, Odessa Young.
Good.
I love her. Is that how you say her name? Odessa or Odaya?
I don't know who that is.
You've seen her.
It sounds
She was in
prestige.
Assassination Nation.
Yeah, I haven't seen that. And I really would like it, I'll bet.
Wait, want to know something crazy? I read this crazy conspiracy thread on X, formerly known as Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And it was basically this like QAnon type person saying that Euphoria was a psyop to introduce all the Gen Z stars of our time right now. Because if you think about it, Sydney, Jacob, Zendaya, Hunter. And it was like basically a psyop to like sell sex to like, he had this person had this whole cockamamie idea. And then the idol was the Illuminati telling Sam Levinson to stop and to humiliate him. And to like, he said like, you've done your task, now go away. So you'll do the idol and humiliate yourself.
That's an incredible take. And
it
also,
was one of the most bonkers thing. I mean, it is crazy that Euphoria, like all the biggest.
It's a 51-50.
It's
yes,
a total
take.
51-50. But I was obsessed with the Euphoria to government PSYOP pipeline.
I know. It's like, no, Euphoria, everything is just so shitty that when one thing is good, everyone in that one good thing benefits.
Yeah.
Like if the world had 7 amazing Euphoria ass shows, then there would be way more sexy actors. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is that
all we have is Jacob Elordi.
Most people, and
say it.
My hot take is he really that good of an actor?
He's just so
unbelievably
hot
that you can't like.
And he's tall. He's 6'5". Like he's just, and he's Australian.
Like I'll accept him. But I'm just saying,
you know what? He could grow into like he could develop as an actor.
He's all we have.
I do see him like having like a shockingly good performance in his like 30s. Do you know what I mean?
I think he has some like. I think he has what it takes
he's
to
a
have
star.
A shockingly
he's a star.
Good performance
in some way. Maybe? Is he a star? I don't know.
I don't know. He's just so hot.
Like, Zendaya's a star.
Yeah.
Hunter Schafer's a star, I think.
Agree.
Sydney is a star.
Sydney is...
She's something.
Really a great dramatic actress.
Reality? Do you see it?
No. Did you see it?
Good movie.
Was it good? Was she good in it?
Really good. Very tense.
I haven't seen it, but I'm intrigued. It's
As a woman,
list.
You'll love it.
Yeah, okay.
It's very about like women being gaslit by men.
Okay, man.
Standing, looking down at them.
Okay, I love it.
Yeah.
But comedy, I mean, that movie, is it? Anyone But You? That is a psyop of some sort. I don't know what the...
We use the word psyop a lot in this pod, and just in general, I think everyone throws that word around too much, but there are psyops, and this is one. This is like how...
That is up to no
Something's
good.
Going on.
Something is deeply going on, and I don't trust it for a second.
Was it like a write-off or some like shady thing?
I've seen that trailer now because I've been going to the movies, because right now is like the only time of year that anything good is mm-hmm. out. And so I've been subjected to the Anyone But You trailer.
Oh,
at
I haven't seen the new one.
I've seen it like 6 times.
I saw the weird like dailies.
It is truly so bad. I've never seen 2 people with less chemistry in my life. The plot point is like, it's such a thin premise that actually makes no sense and would never have, like has no basis in real life. Like no, it's like, they're both in Australia for her sister's wedding, and somehow his ex is at the wedding, and then her parents brought her ex to the wedding to try and get her to like be with him. And so both of them decide to like fake being with each other to like make her parents back off and make his ex jealous.
We need to move away from, I think in general, we need to move away from like, let's pretend to be dating.
Yeah.
I think that's never happened in life. And I don't think.
No.
Like maybe like momentarily to like thwart being date raped. But like, right?
Yeah, but never.
But never like a full blown.
And then it's like the set pieces. What is this? Okay. I really have a bone to pick with this. And I need to like send this to like a wider scale and truly like take Hollywood to task for these types of things.
Sound the alarm, girl.
I'm sounding the fucking alarm. So they have this scene. And this is something that I've seen in multiple movies, that most recently the fucking Lost City of Z or whatever with Sandra Bullock and Channing Tatum.
Talk about me seeing bad movies.
One of the most horrible.
Daniel Radcliffe in it.
Truly a scourge on the industry at large. Shocking that it made money. Like, people were desperate and had like COVID brain, and that's why that movie did well, is the only reason I'm truly convinced of. But that movie and this movie, Anyone But You, have these scenes in them where like bugs are on someone's butt. Like, and this is a thing I'm noticing now, where like rom-coms include some sort of like bug ass thing, where it's like they're like on a hike or whatever, and he's like, permission to touch your ass? And like, she's what? Like, sure. And then she puts her hand like in his shorts, and she's like, you have something in here, and like pulls out a spider. And it's like, in
what?
That Sandra Bullock movie, it was like they went into a river and then they came out, and Channing Tatum had like CGI leeches on his butt, and she had to pick them off. But I'm like,
what's with the butt thing?
We don't need that. Did anyone ever think to be like, we don't really need that? Like, that's not that funny. Like, no one is laughing at that.
No.
Who's being like, oh my
mother God.
Do studio executives literally read it and like mother God laugh to each other and get on the phone and say, this is the best.
They get
You'll
on the horn.
Never fucking believe
they get
this
on the
scene.
Horn. Yes, they do.
The horn, and they love.
They live, laugh, love.
But why? We don't need this. We don't need bugs on the butt in a rom-com. We just don't. I'm here to like, just if anyone was questioning, I feel like a lot of people are questioning, and maybe many writers are struggling with this, where someone told them like, we really need a scene.
That's
we
the thing.
Really, really need a scene where maybe he reaches in his pants and there's a bug.
That's, you know, these are not, this is not the writer. The writer problem. This is not a writer. They're writing good shit, I think, and then they're getting told, why don't you put a bug on the butt?
Okay, I think honestly the writer should go back on strike with just the one side. I don't want that to happen, but I really think they should consider going back
on
strike and saying, we're not going to do any more bugs on the butt scene. And until all the studio executives agree, then they will. The strike will be over. They go, I don't know. I think we really need them. That strike lasts for like months.
I don't know.
They go, I don't know. The bugs, they play well. People love the bugs on the butt. What's up with that?
If it ain't broke, don't fix it, sis. That's what they say. Some bro said that. If it ain't broke, sis.
I don't know. So I read many, many scripts. I read 100 scripts a week. And I'm thinking that most of them could use a bugs on the butt. I think they could really benefit from a set piece where someone finds a bug on a man's butt. That is what it they're like.
They want to see it. They want to see a guy's butt because it's like kind of gay. And it's like kind of like, ooh, it's a guy. You know what I mean? It's like a straight guy showing his butt.
It's like,
whoa.
I feel like it's like ladies will love this.
Ladies will love to see a butt with a bug on it. But then you put a bug on it and it's comedy. Show me. They say, show me that hole.
I just really, really don't understand this trend.
I also just need, before we get into the actual recap, I just need to, like, put this out there.
What?
This is somewhat related, but not related at all.
Okay.
I have spent a year trying to get through the first 6 episodes of The Morning Show, season 1. It's been a Laura, it's been a full fucking year and I haven't finished 6 episodes.
I get that.
I'm literally just finished where they go and there's fires.
You need to go to like AA, but for morning show addicts who are like, well, it's okay. It's okay to let go.
It's leading. It has the most Critics' Choice nominees or something.
They're like paying for that.
No, but I'm like, this show is the biggest show of all time in some ways. And I'm trying really hard. I want to be part of it, the movement, just so I can know what...
You need, like, to go... You need to take up a hobby. You need to, like, find community elsewhere.
I have found community, but I'm still, like...
You don't... This is the thing. But I'm saying.
I'm nurturing something that was just not... It's not going to happen for me. I'm not going to watch the morning show.
With Love and Light...
But I'm
just
trying.
Just release it. But you don't need to try.
But I'm trying so hard to just, like, get through the first season. I'm not even kidding you.
Do you think that it's going to get better for you?
No, I think it's going to get progressively worse. I know it is. This is my alcoholic.
This is addiction.
This is addiction.
This is the darkest side of addiction.
This is my shadow. But it's like, I know I'm not going to be fulfilled by this season. I'm not going
to. What are you waiting for to happen?
Nothing.
But, like, what are you waiting?
I'm waiting for it to become comfort. I'm waiting for it to become a show that I can just turn on and, like, disassociate to, which everyone needs a show that they do that with. I'm sorry.
Totally.
I'm
but
waiting.
But that's what the Kardashians is
for. I know. It's not going to happen with the morning show, and it's fine. I'm like, God damn it. I'm, like, sitting there.
It has too many of, like, the, you know what it is? It's, like, the Jen Aniston of it all. I think it's, like, you root for Jen, and you root for Reese, and you want them to give you what you need. But, like, you need to realize that you're a strong, independent gay man who doesn't have to watch.
Need it.
You don't need to watch the morning show.
It's very, ladies, am I right? And I'm certainly sitting there going, yes. I'm sitting there going, like, ooh. Like, when Reese Witherspoon.
I love you trying to, like, really get into, like, Bradley.
Bradley James getting fucked in an alleyway behind a pub in New York. I'm like, ooh. Yes.
Okay, that sounds kind of good.
That was good.
Was she at the insurrection?
I think it's coming. They're on everything.
They're just trying to get up to the insurrection.
I want to see the insurrection. I want to see, but also I know what's coming is COVID, and I can't deal with that.
They talk about COVID on the morning.
Oh, it's a huge. They take plot lines from our.
This is why you need to get away. We don't need you going back into COVID.
No,
via the morning
and I
show.
Certainly am. Oh, like, I've officially moved away.
I'm begging you to stop.
I moved away from COVID.
You're on the edge.
I'm on the brink.
You are on the fucking brink.
But I'm like. The show, here's the thing with the show, why it's so confounding. It's like, it should serve cunt.
Oh, absolutely.
And there are moments where, like, I can tell that, like...
It wanted to.
And I'm just, like, simply not gagged. It's something, a gagless show. And
sometimes it'd be like that.
Sometimes I'm like... like, when I see, like, Karen Pittman walking out, who I love, that was in Yellowstone...
You just have to learn to get gagged elsewhere.
I go... To Billy Crudup.
Karen Pittman, a.k.a. Miss Nia Wallace from...
Yes.
She's the hardest working actress out there.
But I'm like, she serves, but then also she doesn't in this. No one... And it's like, what is going on? Give them gags. Let them gag, and they won't. Billy Crudup comes out being like a little cunt.
You're not going to get it. You have to learn to look elsewhere.
Martin Short's in it. Like, everyone's in this fucking show. Juliana Margulies plays a lesbian, as we now know.
I think you just have to, with Love and Light, look elsewhere.
All right. Well, now I'm looking at this fucking show.
I know.
And it's this.
There are more. I recently had to do this with Murder at the End of the World, where I said.
I stopped watching.
I said, with Love and Light, mm-hmm. You really tried. And with Love and Light, it's now time for me to take back my life and step away. And sometimes you have to just do that.
Mm.
Sometimes you have to do that.
I'm still in Murder at the End of the World.
Yeah. I understand what it wants to be doing.
I like that it's cozy.
It's really heeg.
It's heeg.
I love Emma Corrin.
Love them.
I just...
Good
I'm,
Marling, love
I'm
her.
I'm not gagged by it.
Mm. I just love Harris Dickinson. Harrison.
Yeah.
We'll see.
It is a we'll see. Well, some of us will see. Some of us will bow out.
Sir, I bid you adieu. At least we still have The Crown.
I don't watch that either. That was when I was like trying. It's
Elizabeth Debicki, though. You got to watch her.
It's for another time in my life. I'll get to my Crown era. That era is simply not now.
Don't you want to see Kate Middleton make her debut in The Crown?
Walking on the runway, her revenge show. I love it. It's so bitchy that they're like, and Kate Middleton, and we're going to feature her when she was her least stylish and most desperate. And then it's goodbye. The show is over.
I know.
That's a serve.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not here to talk about those shows.
No, we're not. I'm Carrie.
I'm Lara.
And you're listening to
Sexy,
Unique Podcast. Beverly Hills, Kate Middleton. Kyle is hosting, so we're in the prior episode from the week before last.
So, like, we're going to play a little catch up, but then we're going to get to the most recent episode. So, Sutton's been coming for Kyle, saying that
she went off with her head.
Something's off about her. Something's up.
My theory is she's having severe gay panic over Kyle potentially being a lesbian, and she's triggered and just going to war. Because I think Sutton has low-key latent les vibes. Just gonna say.
Late in life lesbian?
Latent. Like, simmering just beneath. It's got something. Some kind of repression.
I see Sutton's repression. I also see Sutton wanting to have, like, another divorce buddy. And, you know what I mean? Like, I feel
join
like...
the club, sis.
Yeah, and being like, this is something else we can bond over. So, like, let's talk divorce. But then Kyle is gonna have, if she and Mo are getting divorced,
which we now know they
are, it's just gonna be in its own like weird way.
I think Sutton, it goes, I'm not saying she's gay, that was kind of a joke, but I do, there's just something else happening with this. She's too fixated.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little weird. It's weird to be this fixated on someone else not drinking.
Yeah.
I've experienced this. When you're upset that someone else has stopped drinking, you need to evaluate. It's more
of a you problem.
It's always a
if you're
you
upset
problem.
That someone else isn't drinking, that's 100% a you problem and not a them
problem.
Yeah,
loop them out.
If you begrudge someone for like doing good things for their life, that's a major red flag that you're encountering a you problem.
And I think it extends to Garcelle a little.
Definitely. I think everyone who has anything to say about Kyle working out or quitting drinking is struggling with their own body issues and their own booze issues.
And I think it is because Kyle has projected this image of like having this perfect life. I do. And I think, but I don't think that's her fault in such that like you should be like everyone is now. I think in these types of shows, which is unfortunate, when one is like doing poorly, the others kind of swarm a little. Like I think people like to see someone, especially Kyle, who's like been the OG,
mm-hmm.
kind of cracking a little. Like she's had this sort of impenetrable wall, I think. And once there's a little crack, I think people enjoy seeing that. They can't help themselves. I'm not saying it's because every woman is jealous of another woman. I'm just saying it's like human. Schadenfreude.
Yeah.
You know? And I think Sutton is very unhappy with her life. And she's jumping at the chance. She did it a little with Erica. Like she sticks her nose a lot
in other people's business.
And I think it has something to do with like boredom, and also she, it's like her way of getting power is to be nosy and like have dirt.
Well, Sutton also, as much as she is like an independent woman now, she still isn't, because she's dependent on child support and alimony payments. So,
and we'll see in this episode that it's, the dependency goes like farther beyond than I even thought it did.
Yeah, and I think it's like, it's all fun and games, and I'm a big fan of divorce him and take
me
him
too,
for everything
me too.
It's worth,
100%.
Like, style of being, but in situations like the one she's in, you're still under this person's thumb, and you're still having to, like, fight for that money,
mm-hmm.
and that means you're not that independent, and, like, that's got to be tough to reckon with.
Dun, dun, dun. Question, what do you think about me? I buy my own diamonds and I buy my own ring. Ladies, it ain't easy being independent.
Yeah, so she...
she's coming for Kyle's ass.
Is coming for Kyle, and Kyle is decided to have a weed dinner because she's like, everyone's so mad that I don't drink, and now I just want to, like, smoke some weed or, like, have a weed dinner, and then maybe they'll shut the fuck up about me not drinking.
So she's still, like, doing edibles and stuff.
Yeah, I guess so. Cool. She just doesn't drink, but yeah, partakes in some THC every once in a while.
She's like, I'm feeling some major peer pressure from my friends, so I'm gonna shut them up with a THC infused 4-course meal or whatever, 5-course meal.
And my thing with this meal is, like,
it doesn't look good.
A, the food looked bad, and B, it's not like they're cooking with, like, THC infused ingredients. They're literally just putting, like, THC oil on top of a already cooked dish.
I thought it was, like, in the butter or, like, in the grease, or, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't know. Yeah. It was, like...
like, it's infused and is part of the flavor profile.
They're literally doing droppers of THC. I was like, so what is that?
Yeah.
She's FaceTiming with Morgan before the show. Morgan talks like that woman who voiced Patty Mayonnaise that was in Orange is the New Black. You know that woman with that voice? She's like the yoga teacher who, like, hit someone with
a
car.
She was Patty Mayonnaise?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
What's her name? Oh yeah.
She's also in The Curse, I think.
She's an incredible actress.
Wow. Yeah. She's a slay. Morgan is not what I thought she would be.
No. Constance Shulman.
Wow. Morgan's like... I guess I was expecting...
Oh, yeah, she plays Emma's mom in The Curse. Yeah.
I was expecting, like, more of a G-flip energy.
No, she's, like, kind of high-pitched Southern girl.
And she's very vulnerable, so it seems.
Did you... My friend, friend of the pod, Joan Summers, who hosts Eating for Free, who's so fucking funny, she sent me lyrics from one of her songs that was like, us at the chateau, no one can see us together because you're married and you're on a show and I'm snorting pills off your body, you know what I mean? And, like, she's clearly talking about
Ms. Richards.
Ms. Richards, it seems.
Wow.
But yeah, she is, like, she's sweet and, like, kind of shy almost.
I know, she's much shyer than I thought.
Kyle's actually more dom than she is.
Well, Kyle's also older than her.
No, I know, but I thought Kyle would be sort of the, like...
Did you watch the episode where they, like, got tattoos together? Kyle is simply a giddy schoolgirl around her new love.
They're in love.
They have to be, right?
Something's up. I mean, it's like, if it's not, like, if they're not together, it's like a...
It's,
I don't
a
know,
fierce, fabulous friendship.
It's a little fried green tomatoes. If it's not full out, Les.
It's something.
But there's something there. It's undeniable. And I think...
You're talking before a show. You're FaceTiming before, like, a show.
Yeah, she's like, good luck with your
That's
show.
That's like you call Simon before a show.
Yeah. And, like, it's, you know, and now Kathy, you know, Kathy got a tattoo with them.
She did?
She had them over to her house, and they got tattoos together.
What were their tattoos?
I forgot, but Kathy is, like, all about Morgan and Kyle.
Kathy tattoos the F slur on her.
But Kat, like, I think Kyle and Kim like love, or Kathy and Kim love Morgan.
Okay, I love this twist.
And I can't tell.
Morgan could be the person that brings them all together.
Well, they are. I mean, they're friends again, Kyle and.
But I think more info.
I do believe Mo was a very divisive force, low key. I think he was part of. I think he did not help with the Kyle estrangement.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be because they're jealous. I don't know what the deal is. Like, they were just like. But there is something shady. I think they maybe didn't like Mo for Kyle.
I just love the new Kyle. I love seeing her be healthy. Like, I'm really inspired by Kyle Richards. She's I'm going to say that.
She's also not on Ozempic.
No, I think that she's just running everywhere.
No, I know. That's what I'm like, we all, everyone like very like came for her so much about it. And I just, it's like, people can't accept that when you don't drink, you lose weight.
People can't accept that if you
exercise,
strength train to the point of like you, if you do strength training and you exist on a high protein caloric deficit, you lose weight and you get shredded. And that's just math.
And you don't drink.
That's bodily math.
People are, we've so all have medieval unless, brain.
And honestly, and I get it. I've also been there where I'm like, that's the most assured way. Like, and if you're doing those things and not losing weight, then you have like a hormonal issue and you can take care of that and then you will lose weight. But like, that is just like scientifically,
yeah.
People are really lazy. And people, again, this is a huge thing. When you're really mad at someone for losing weight, you're actually mad at yourself. Period.
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 Fucking Faye Resnick.
I love her.
The queen arrives. Dinner party from hell, pot trois.
Pot
trois.
We all need a friend like Faye Resnick.
Faye just interjecting during this dinner. That's a little weird. I think that's weird. Faye coming in defending her lesbian bestie.
A friend who like is not necessarily going to fight tooth and nail to be on the show that you're on, but like comes around and like is a supportive queen, and then offline you're also like best friends, is the best case scenario.
Faye, in theory, is like the ultimate Real Housewife.
Mm-hmm.
But she's smart.
She's so much of a Real Housewife that she isn't a Real Housewife, which That's is the true sign of a true Real Housewife.
Never forget, ooh, is this what you do? And then Anne Marie Wiley enters, who's the newest lady with a diamond.
Kyle's neighbor.
Married to a former NFL, Marcellus Wiley.
They had a big old house party or like a neighborhood gathering. And then Kyle met Anne Marie and they became fast friends. And I love her. Her energy's great.
I like her. She's an anesthesiologist or nurse anesthetist.
She's putting people down.
She's really smart, really driven. She works out 7 times a week. She's just like rich and fabulous.
She's 5'9 and 160 pounds of just raw fucking muscle.
She's jacked as shit and she likes to win. And I'm into her.
Me too.
Fucking Cynthia Bailey comes. One of the most beautiful women ever.
That was a really like.
Why didn't they like.
They said Sutton's friend, Cynthia.
I was offended by that.
Me too.
I was like, excuse me.
Because then I started to feel gaslit and I was like, that is Cynthia Bailey, right?
Yes!
And then I was like, maybe it wasn't.
Why didn't they say like...
I left the dinner being like, oh, that was just her friend.
No,
Cynthia.
That was Cynthia Bailey. She's like an undeniable...
I watched like the ultimate girl.
No, I know. She's incredible. And I know she's close with Kyle too.
It was just a weird way
weird.
To like
I've also met her and she's... like beyond stunning in person.
Yeah, she's
a
gorgeous.
Supermodel. Yeah, so she comes with Sutton. Sutton's on the she's punched in PI.
Mm-hmm. Sutton put her little mirrored jacket on and said, I'm marching myself down to this dinner.
Come on, Cynthia.
Come on, my friend Cynthia Bailey.
Mom
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, Princess Diana. But that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Disintel, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers. Stretching back into the history of the British monarchy, did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Disintel on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Nothing gives me naked confidence like being freshly showered, hair blown out, makeup on, putting on my favorite perfume.
Nothing gives me naked confidence quite like getting my parking validated at Equinox after a well-earned workout.
A very close second would be Lumi Whole Body Deodorant. Unlike certain other deos, Lumi is powered by mandelic acid to deliver outrageous 72-hour odor control everywhere, from your pits to your feet.
And yes, even your privates. In fact, it was patients' concerns about private part odor that originally inspired the OBGYN who invented Lumi.
Flash forward 6 years, and her game-changing whole body deo has earned over 300,000 five-star reviews from people who love feeling confident from head to toe.
New customers get $5 off Lumi's starter pack with code SUP at LumiDeodorant.com. I love Lumi because as a gay man, you need to have your taint smelling fresh as fuck. So with one roll of Lumi, I'm ready to get out there and own the world.
What I love most about Lumi is that it's multi-purpose. It saves its customers money because you're not buying all these different products for different body parts. You can just boil it all down to one super product that takes care of any of your odor issues.
Whole body deodorant with Lumi, seriously safe to use anywhere on your body. Your pits, your underboobs, thigh folds, belly buttons, butt cracks, vulvas, and feet.
It's clinically proven to block odor all day and control over up to 72 hours.
And it's baking soda free and paraben free.
Plus, it's pH balanced for safe use below the belt.
Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice like mini body wash and deodorant wipes, and free shipping.
As a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with the code SUP at LumiDeodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit LumiDeodorant.com and use the code SUP. Are you ready to win Mother's Day and cement your reputation as the best gift giver in the family? Give the moms in your life an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos, and you will rise to the top of the heap, and you will be deified and worshipped for the rest of your days walking this planet.
Because as anyone who has siblings know, that's the only goal on Mother's Day is to be the favorite.
And if you're an only child, you're still competing with all your other extended family members, and it's important to wage a war and come out on top.
If you're an only child, you're also at war with yourself.
So what you can do is get your mother or the preeminent mother figure in your life an Aura frame. You load it up with photos. It's literally the easiest thing to do. And I know that you might be thinking, ew, digital frames are bleak, but I'm telling you, this Aura frame is chic.
And the best part is it has unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, so you can keep updating your mother or mother figure's frame with new photos. So it's the gift that keeps on giving and uploading.
I gave my mom an Aura frame, and she had resisted for so long because she's truly anti-technology, like barely even understands right. How to FaceTime. And I said, just let me. And I set it all up for her. I plugged it in. I fired up the app. I preloaded pictures on it. And now she's so into it that she figured out how to preload pictures and even runs it from her app, which is truly saying a lot because she refuses to download apps. She thinks everyone's spying on her, stealing her data. And the fact that I was able to break through and she literally loves this frame, like loaded it up with pictures of her cat, I was like, we did it, Joe. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off, plus free shipping on their best-selling frame.
That's AuraFrames.com. Use code SUP at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Denise and Camille show up together, which I was like, double toil and trouble.
I know. Camille always has to be at a dinner party from hell. Remember Camille just
so
saving...
demure and just like such a demure little kitty cat.
She's also like a terrible person.
I love her. She's like the kind of chaos that...
She's Chouse.
I'll always like respect and appreciate. Like, and she's just so like...
I mean,
she's
never...
such a little slinky vixen.
Never forgets her coming in... penultimate episode of one of the seasons, saving the whole season by starting a fight for no reason, and then brought so much drama in for the following season. Do you remember that when they were at that weird restaurant in the Beverly Center and she just fucking like tore at the dinner table, and like either the finale episode or the second to last episode, and the entire season changed in like one episode.
Yeah, she's a must have at any event.
They come out of the car and Denise goes, "Should we go? Should we go in and out?" Denise is toasted.
Hammered.
She's fucking tequila drunk. Everyone says that she's on drugs in this episode, and Brandy Glanville tweeted something that was actually a good point. She was like, she said, "I don't think, like, we all know Denise, or like anyone who knows Denise knows she doesn't do drugs. She's just like tequila drunk. She's
fucking drunk."
But she said, "Go drugs" instead of "do drugs." She tried.
Brandy's. I feel like every time Denise Richards pops up on Brandy's screen, Brandy's literally like, yeah, horned up.
That's her,
and she's like in a tweet, like her pussy tastes like Pepsi Cola.
Mm-hmm. Crystal doesn't like Anne-Marie.
I like that. When people just don't like people.
She goes, "Anne-Marie talks a lot and asks a lot of questions. That bitch is nosy."
Well, maybe you need to answer some questions and earn your keep in the show, because you're really... You are not earning the paycheck this season.
You see Anne-Marie stepping in and you know
that you're on the chopping block. And rightly so.
I had to say, Alison Dubois was right.
She was 100% correct.
The kids get bigger, you'll have nothing left in common.
I mean, got chills at that flashback. Because I was like, this bitch always knew. And Kyle knew, too.
She knew.
Kyle's always known deep down in her little lesbian bones that it was not gonna pan out.
Kim always hated Maurice.
She did.
She always, "Maurice!" I think she didn't like Mauricio because...
they stole her goddamn house?
Well, yeah, they stole the goddamn house. But maybe, I'm giving her too much credit, probably as a good sister, but maybe she also knew that he was, like, treating her sister poorly. But who knows? I don't think Kim... I just don't
TBD
see
what she knew. And
I don't.
Didn't
yeah,
know,
I don't think she was
but
really.
She knew that she didn't like Maurice.
Denise sounds like a drunk, like barfly, and like
she's
a South Jersey
she's reminding
tavern.
Me of my first stepmom a lot.
Angie,
yeah.
Oh, should we bleep that?
No, I don't care.
Yeah,
I don't.
Is
think
that
she's...
how she sounded?
Well, yeah. I mean, a drunk when a drunk pretty lady is a very. But it always sounds the same.
I thought Denise slayed, and I want her more. She needs to be in back
Denise
on the show.
Denise in a full pink look and a leather dress. She also looks like someone like tried to kill her by smothering her with a pillow before plying her with alcohol and throwing her in an Escalade and saying, "Off to Encino you go." Her hair is so messed up.
She came in and Garcelle goes, "Oh." And then she goes, "What's up?
What's the O about?
What's the O? I don't do weed."
Garcelle's O's are on fire this episode. This whole dinner.
Oh. She's like, just do that. And she serves in one O more than like Crystal served.
Crystal, take notes.
Take notes.
All you have to do is go, Oh.
Oh.
Mm.
All these women should take a note.
Yeah.
Oh.
Why? Well, that was a great lesson in doing the least, but doing it well enough that it seems like more of an effort.
What's so?
What's the O about? She goes, this is a weed dinner? She says, I don't want to smoke weed. I've smoked weed twice in my life. I won't tell you with who. I was like, not the wink.
Who, Charlie Sheen?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. I think she probably was privy to more than just weed being smoked.
Maybe tried a few things once. There's no harm in that. Seeing what you like and what you don't like. But like, I like a woman that just knows she likes to drink tequila.
Yeah, she's a good woman. She's a good old lady from Illinois.
She's a good old fashioned
young Denise.
Just a good old fashioned tequila.
I will say, even in her like blown to smithereens brain, she had moments in this episode where I was like, "That's Denise Richards."
Mm-hmm.
When she went, "Let me be very clear," raising one eyebrow, I was like, "Ooh."
Sutton before dinner. Ugh. Takes Kyle aside.
She explains why she's been off.
Yeah. Because
Kyle's like, you were off your fucking rocker when you named him, when you played the name him game.
And I don't know what that's about. And Sutton's like, well, I got information from my husband that he's moving to London. Ex-husband that he is moving to London. And then he said that maybe my son will go with him. And then I thought, will my son go with him? And I realized my son will not go with him. But that means I'm going to need more child support. And then Kyle's reaction is incredible. She's like, so you're sad because you're going to get more money? And she's like, which is such like a Kyle. Because Kyle would know like why she's mad. But I love putting it that way.
Yeah.
Because it's an extra little twist the knife. And Sutton's like, well, no, that means I now have to go to court and deal with him. So I'm blah, blah, blah. I mean, I believe
Sutton believes this is very hard.
Well, I believe it is hard for her. I believe if she had, I think that not a lot of people speak on this element. And I would love to see more of this spoken about on Housewives. But like an acrimonious divorce
is hell.
Can get so abusive in legal proceedings and like putting someone through like legal hell and just like wrapping them up in every detail. And I do believe that's like a form of abuse.
It is.
But it's legitimized
abuse.
Yeah. I mean, it's like people wouldn't think of it like that off the top of their heads.
It's not right to be, but it gets legitimized by like legality.
Or it just is like part and parcel.
It's fucked up. I mean, look at
Bethany. Like a divorce. But like that is really traumatic for people. And I believe that Sutton is deeply affected by having to like go through this process with someone.
Well, not only her husband demanded that she move to London. That's the thing that was so. And Kyle goes, just tell him to fuck off.
Yeah.
So she's saying like my ex-husband still like owns my life. And I get.
Which I'm like.
That's traumatic, but I think that's not what's going on here.
No, I mean, I don't think that that's why.
She named him.
But maybe she is like, can't compartmentalize. So then that stuff becomes her freaking out about like Erica Jane popping her pussy in the Magic Mike show floor.
She goes, my husband has a bigger team than I am. He's powerful globally. She goes, and I'm not just talking selling houses. I was like, damn. And meanwhile, back Denise starts babbling away at the dinner table, and she says something to Erica, and she goes, you know what I'm talking about.
Wasn't this after they all sat down?
Yeah, they're all sitting back at the dinner table.
Oh, well, so Sutton and Kyle argue, and then everyone's getting seated and like waiting for them to come. And then
Camille sits
down and she's like, oh, Faye is seated right across from me. And then Faye gets up, goes to like the organizer of the dinner seating chart. And she was like, I don't want anything to do with that woman. And I'm not sitting down there. So they put her at the other end of the table, which
fair.
I just loved.
If you were called the morally corrupt.
Yeah, and I just love like an old grudge, like old Beverly Hills
13-year-old grudge,
like Beverly Hills grudges of like, I don't want anything to do with that woman.
Incredible.
Yeah. So everyone's waiting. Crystal goes to like interject. The producers are like, you need to say one word or else you're going to be let go literally tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Like your name will not appear on the call sheet anymore. So Crystal's like, okay, fine. I'll like go talk to Sutton and Kyle. So she goes in to like intervene on their little argument. And then Kyle's flustered and walks away. And then Sutton goes and sits down at the table. And everyone's like, where is our host? Like, what's going on? Where's our hostess? And Sutton goes, probably in denial about something. And I was like,
this is where I was like, gay panic.
Oh, I just thought it was like divorce denial.
There's something going on. I'm not like, she's a little too fixed. I think the undercurrent here is that Kyle's fucking Morgan. That's what I feel.
Yeah, I think it's that Kyle is planning on getting... Kyle is having marital problems. She's getting a separation. She's also fucking Morgan. Like, I think in the press, all of these things are being said. And then Kyle is just kind of lightly alluding to it. So it seems like producers are probably being like, someone needs to say something to Kyle, and you're kind of like the closest person that would really do that. Like Dorit has like soft shoot it with her, but they're like, okay, Sutton and Kyle are having like coming head to head, so like Sutton needs to say something, but Sutton can't actually just say what's going on. I see that you're out not wearing your wedding ring. Are you getting divorced or are you like getting separated and are you with this other woman? And so instead, it just was like, what's really going on? You're wearing a ring that I don't recognize. What's that about? Like, and no one will actually just be very clear about what the problem is.
Yeah, and Kyle, like, all this shit goes down. Like, the ring gets brought up. And then Kyle's like, my ring is at the bank, like, in a vault.
That was chic.
It was really chic. And then Garcelle goes, I just assumed it was a makeup band. And they're like, what's a makeup band? She goes, I got one. My husband gave me one. It's... to make up for when he cheated on me.
And then Camille goes, I got cars. I got a car every time.
God love her.
She goes, he did something, and then I got an Aston Martin. I was like, ah.
And then Garcelle goes, is that what Mauricio did for you? And then Erica goes, whoa, let's not do that. And then Faye goes, that's weird. This is all getting weird.
And Kyle goes, I don't ask you guys where you got your jewelry. Like, oh, Garcelle, where'd you get your necklace? And Garcelle goes, Zara.
Loved. And Erica goes, oh, hell, I didn't wear my ring for years.
EJ.
Miss Georgia.
I love EJ Global Wing. And no one, everyone knows what was going on with you and your bat husband.
Out of nowhere, Denise goes, what's going on?
How many margaritas did Denise have before this? Like
Casamigos on the rocks.
Yeah.
Kyle basically is like, Sutton, you want to know why I'm not drinking? She goes, because when I drink, I get hungover in the morning and I feel very depressed and low about myself. And I can't afford to be depressed right now with everything going on in my life.
But this is the thing that I'm like, Kyle, just say what's going on in your life to shut everyone up. Like, if she was just like, we're going through a hard time.
But she's not used to this because she's the queen bee. And she's been like this kind of, there's been this, a wall up, I think, with Kyle over the last 15 years she's been on the show. Do you know what I mean? And I think she's just not used to being, I think the Kathy thing was like the beginning of the crack. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I think when it comes to like with Kim, with, you know, Kyle is at her most fragile when it has to do with her family or her husband. Which makes sense.
It's just weird to me to like be like, you're not drinking, you're working out, like something's really wrong. It's like maybe something's kind of right for the first time ever.
It's bizarre. And she, and then
like for Sutton to put it that way as like bring question around those behavioral changes, that is strange. And then Kyle's like, why are you talking about me like working out? Like, you literally don't eat and you drink a lot.
She goes, I don't told you it's because my esophagus is small.
She's, what you mean I don't eat? I eat all the time. She goes, no, you push your food from one side of the plate to another. And I was like, I've seen Sutton's legs and Kyle's. When you're right, you're right. And I love, like, this is the kind of shit that I live for, is like pointing this kind of thing out.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, it's like a low, it's pretty, but
not that low. If you're gonna come,
but if you're
someone,
putting, no, I'm saying, yeah, if you're doing it, like, don't cry when it gets brought back to you.
Because also,
she said Kyle, she accused Kyle of being, of like starving herself. So, like, honey. Miss Nobby-knees. Sutton goes,
little chicken legs.
I told you I have something wrong with my esophagus. It's very small.
I have an incredibly small esophagus.
She's so skinny. Even her esophagus is small.
I was reading some other, like, the Vulture writer who recapped this episode was talking about the
Brian
small
Moylan?
Esophagus. I don't know if he does it still, but... whoever it does it, was talking about the small esophagus of it all.
Yeah.
And that is a real thing, having like a constriction.
Yeah.
But that it is also a symptom of alcohol.
Really?
Consumption. Yeah.
Whoa. Well.
I believe in Sutton. Sutton's giving like Southern Gothic.
No, I'm
Tennessee
into it.
Williams.
Yeah, she's like it's like Faulkner. It's like she's this like as I lay dying kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then Denise is like, I'm going to take this opportunity to right my wrongs. So
Erica
goes,
the conversation lulls. And then EJ goes, well, Denise, how does it feel to be back here in the group?
No, Dorit says that. She goes, Denise. Which I'm like, you little shitster. Mm-hmm. She goes, how does it feel? Did you miss us? Did you miss being part of something? And now that you're all alone out in Malibu? And she goes, I did miss you guys. She goes, except I have something to say to you. And she points and Erica goes, what?
What is it?
What is it? She goes, I want to know why you came. Why you, when we first met, you were so kind and so sweet to me. And then what happened? You started attacking me.
I was like, I don't remember that.
Well, I did remember EJ kissed her ass so hard in the beginning because she was who she was.
Yeah.
But then I do think it was like maybe in tandem with like Rinna. I think she was like in her head, Rinna wasn't there. So like Erica's the closest thing to Rinna. And Rinna really went for Denise.
Oh, yeah.
So I think maybe she was like.
Rinna just torched their friendship.
And I think that's what she meant. I understood. And then when everyone was kind of like, Denise, what are you talking about? No one came. And I'm like, you guys are gaslighting her a little. Because you all were like, you and Teddy Mellencamp, you were all banging the lesbian drum with Denise and like terrorizing her over her like. Sex life. They were. And they were, so like the fact that everyone's sitting at the table being like, Denise, what are you talking about? Like blah blah blah. Like try to tell us what you mean. I was like, wait, guys, do we not forget that the reason that she's not on the show anymore is because you ran her out of town with pitchforks for like scissoring Brandy?
Yeah, but I don't think that EJ particularly did that.
No, but I think she sees EJ as like Rinna because of their how close they are. I think Erica loves to like absolve herself and like never takes blame for anything. So I think she played it really dumb. She could have maybe been like, this woman is absolutely blottoed and she's trying to say I was associated with someone and I didn't stop her. That's what I saw it as like, Denise being like, I thought we were cool. And then you didn't stop your friend from like taking me down.
Yeah.
Why? What's the deal with that? I thought we were friends. I think that's what she... But she was so drunk she couldn't articulate it. And then everyone else kind of like chimed in a little. Because it was kind of fun to gaslight her. That's what I thought.
Yeah. I was like, I didn't even put that together. I was just like, God, this drunk lady's just got an idea and then is running with
it.
No,
I think it was partly that. But I think there was something that she was trying to articulate and she just couldn't because she was so drunk. But I think she was trying to say, like, where were all of you when I needed friends during my, like, Scarlet Letter moment?
But then she was also, like, lying about
the thing.
And then later in the episode, she blames it on Erica talking about three. Like, she brings it back
to
that
weird
thing.
That was bullshit.
And so then I was like, okay, like, this is not.
I think
it's just, I love seeing her on the show because she's so not meant to be in this world at
all. But she is.
But she, yeah, she is by way of
fame.
Well, no, she's so, she isn't meant to be in this world because
she's an actress.
Yeah. And she also just like does not have the like chops for navigating the rules of reality television. Like she exists in kind of like rules of Hollywood where you do things and people don't like really question them, or you can like brush them under the rug or like manipulate people or whatever to like not have your dirty laundry aired. And then on a show like this, it's like, no, all your dirty laundry is going to get aired and like there are no alliances.
Yeah.
And so, but then she is essential to a show like this because of her inability to like understand how to play the game.
Sutton lights up a joint suddenly.
A joint.
And Denise goes, whoa.
But I love Denise going, Erica going, I don't know what you're talking about. Can you explain? And she goes, Watch the show. You rewind it and watch the show. And then you come back and talk to me and tell me. I was like, lady.
She's like an old village drunk.
Yeah. But it just like gets a bone to pick and then thinks it's a good idea in the moment. Like, I think that she thinks that there is something wrong and that she needs to like confront Erica about. But then it was just like, I'm so drunk that I just thought this and I actually like don't know where that thought came from.
And she's out of her depth with Erica.
Well, she's out of her depth with everyone because she's not ever going to be honest.
No.
Like, she's not, she didn't, she came with rules in her own head that's like, I'm not going to talk about me and Brandy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to talk about me and Aaron.
Yeah.
And I don't want anyone to talk about sex in front of my kids. And those are like just rules that she made up, but that don't like fit the narrative of the show.
Yeah. And I was also like, honey, too late.
I know. I'm like, babe, like
their dad is,
that's okay. But you're the father of your children is Charles Sheen. So
I think they've
hearing EJ go, there's two vaginas and one dick at like a backyard dinner party. It's not that big of a deal. So just her freaking out about that kind of stuff is like, it's only gonna work. Like, you really can only come for someone if you are willing to have nothing to hide.
Denise tells Dorit that Sutton is a dumb C word. She goes, she's a dumb cunt. And then Dorit goes, Denise, I think your coat's on upside down. Because it's fully on upside down.
Oh, so, well, Denise leaves the table then.
Yeah.
And is like, I don't even, and like gets up. And then that's when she puts her little coat on upside down. And then Dorit tries to like kindly assist her with it. And she goes, I don't know exactly what you're doing. Stop it.
She goes, is your coat on upside down? And Dorit goes,
Dorit going, no, I don't think it is.
And she goes, don't do this. Don't do this. And she goes, do what? I just want you to put... And she goes, Stop it. Stop it. And then Kyle is like, let's get you in a matte black Escalade.
Let's put you in a car and send you on home.
Go back to Malibu with Big Pharma enemy number one.
Mm-hmm.
Do a Dirty John.
But I do love Denise coming out of the woodwork, and I hope that she continues to be in the fold.
She should be a good friend of. She'd be a good friend of. She can.
But the thing about Beverly Hills, too, is like they rarely actually say what they mean when they confront each other. More than any other show, and that's what makes it so frustrating. It's like any other show would be like, you're separated from your husband, you're not wearing your ring, and everyone says that you're a lesbian now. Like, what's the deal? And then this, they go, something's just off. I don't know what it is. And, like, Denise is like, we used to be cool, but then we're not. And it's like, no one can actually say exactly what they mean.
Don't do this.
Not like this.
No.
Remember the Matrix when the blonde woman with the platinum hair is about to get killed and she goes, not like this. They unplug her and then she dies. Switch or whatever.
I don't remember. Is it the first one?
Yeah. When, anyway.
I need to remember.
Dorit tells Kyle that Sutton told her that she's said that Kyle is in denial. And Kyle immediately turns around and goes, oh, Sutton, now you're saying I'm in denial?
You can't come for sober Kyle.
And she goes, I just want to know what's going on in your household.
She goes, what do you care about my household?
She goes, what are you talking about, my household? And then she goes, and by the way, Kyle, my esophageal disorder is nothing to make fun of. My esophagus is so tiny, tiny, tiny. It's tight.
It's the smallest little esophagus you've ever seen.
You should see an x-ray. The doctor said it was the smallest one he'd ever seen. He'd never seen an esophagus so teeny tiny, so thin, so dainty. My esophagus is dainty and tight.
Her and her, like, thin esophagus valor. She goes, Kyle, you've already broken ties with two of your sisters and lost them. Do you really want to lose a third?
That was so mean.
Yeah, I was like, you're a bitch for that.
And then Erica kind of swoops in because she's like, Sutton is basically, she's forged a friendship with Kathy in the midst of all this, and she kind of let Kathy railroad Kyle, like, at the reunion, didn't, like, intervene, even though she knew what had happened. And Erica says that, like, all the women go silent at the mention of Kathy because Kathy gatekeeps Beverly Hills. And she really is, like, she's not just delusional. Like, she kind of is the grand dame of, like, Hollywood in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
Like, her part, you know, we were just talking about it.
So you're either in or you're out with Kathy. And then Sutton says, well, yeah, I mean, Kathy did call me after the last reunion.
I bet
and
she did.
She screamed at me for a long time. And then I understood exactly what Kyle goes through.
But
all
now
the time.
But now she wants to be like,
but now she wants to go to the party so she'll play nice.
But Erica's, she's so not Team Kathy, which I kind of, I respect
that. I was like,
that.
You're a real one for this. She goes, I've always been an outsider and I don't give a fuck. So it's fine.
And she goes in and she sits with Kyle. And I did feel like that moment was genuine. I didn't think it was just Erica like,
see, this makes me miss Rinna so much because I needed, like, the Rinna EJ Global Alliance.
Going, but Erica,
Denise, what? Like, do you understand Denise? How much Rinna would have just pushed Denise's buttons
Denise,
in this?
What's going on over there, Denise?
And also, talking about addiction and drinking, Rinna would have a lot to say about that. Why? I'm so angry at everyone that turned on her.
Also, Erica, we cut to her saying what Kathy said in Aspen. She goes, she called the DJ an old faggot. And then Kathy, no.
I never in my life.
Everyone who knows me knows I would never use that line. And then she goes, yeah, you said it. And I'm like, I believe you forever.
Oh,
I've 100%. I will always believe Erica that she called the DJ in Aspen a dirty old faggot.
100. There's no question in my mind. There never has been about the Aspen story.
Yeah.
Never. Never once did
Kathy
I think that they were lying.
Monster. Kathy's a monstrous, monstrous person. Sorry.
If
but
Kathy,
invite me to your party.
I think if Kathy does not get her way, there will be hell to pay.
But I would love to go to one of her parties.
Yeah, I'd go.
Yeah,
I'd go.
Then we cut to be continued. Or no, this was in the second episode.
Yeah, Kyle's like, I need everyone to leave. And then she kind of ushers everyone out and then, like, sadly clops her little platform, Silva
calls
heels.
Calls Morgan.
Yeah, FaceTimes Morgan.
Fingers.
And they just kind of, like, furiously rub their clits together on FaceTime.
God, that's what she, I'm like, this.
That's
this,
good for her.
Good for her. Like, she's sober. She wants to go to bed and, like, there is nothing that makes more sense than if you don't wake up hungover, your life is infinitely better. Like, I just don't, what don't you understand?
No, it's amazing. I'm also like, so Sutton says that she doesn't want any THC on her food, but then she takes the opportunity.
That was jarring.
That really was.
I was like, I loved, God damn.
Someone goes, inside?
She goes, it's perfectly legal.
I checked. It's very legal.
And then I was also like, damn, if I was in the, about to have like a custody child support, I'd be
I would not be smoking.
I'd be like, honey, clamp it down. Save it for your gay assistant. Not to be like...
Sutton's also, but she's giving this season.
Oh, I think her presence is necessary. She's a troublemaker.
Yeah.
She's wild. She's unpredictable. She's hilarious at times. She has glamour.
Lots of horse content. And like, we got a great like Jennifer Tilly moment.
She has a skinny esophagus. We're into it. I'm just saying she's also like deeply unwell.
Oh, 100.
Dorit, we cut to Casa Kemsley. Is that how you say Dorit Kemsley?
Mm-hmm.
She's with her little kitties, and Phoenix is in like a Wednesday Addams phase, and she has a fake thing, like the hand, which I was like, okay, I like this.
Mm-hmm. And then we cut to happy, sober, muscled out Kyle leaving the house to go on a little run.
She's running. She's Sarah Connor. She's running through Encino over to Anne Marie's house. And her confessional look was positively Kris Jenner.
Mm-hmm.
The pilgrim collar, the sheer. I was obsessed with it.
Unfortunately, the pickleball pandemic continues.
Yeah, Kyle goes, God, this is my favorite workout.
And she and Anne Marie play pickleball while Denise, Crystal, Garcelle, and Sutton go to lunch somewhere.
Laura and I, we were...
deeply unsafe.
I can only assume
that it's in like a corner of the valley I do not wish to ever encounter.
It was like a sports bar.
It was also very close to like Hallmark Media offices.
Oh, I know exactly where that is.
Where is it?
It's like on Ventura, I think.
Is it in Studio City?
Yeah, I think so. Correct me if I'm
like,
wrong.
I love the valley.
Me too.
But there are certain parts of it where you're like, God, this is so fucking ugly. Like, get me out of here. And this was one of those parts.
Well, I think it was, they probably were like, God damn it. Denise is coming. We need more room to film. And they're like, because we have an extra person now. So we got to find this fucking sports bar on Ventura Boulevard. It was bizarre.
It was a weird choice.
But Anne Marie also talks about her childhood. She's been gymming it up since middle school.
Yeah.
She's like, I used to go to school in the morning in high school at like 6 a.m. and just work out.
Do squats.
I was like, God.
I love it that someone, what is it, at the dinner, they're like, who asked how much everyone weighs at dinner?
No, she just volunteered that info.
Oh, no, because someone was asking a lot of questions. They were like, oh, so you're new. Like, where are you from? How much do you weigh? How tall are you? And she was like, 5'9", 160. And I was like, holy shit. She's like fucking jacked.
Pure muscle.
All muscle.
Yeah. I like her.
Me
I think
too.
I like her and Kyle's friendship. I think they're like, I like it. And Emery was sort of trying to defend Kyle at dinner, which I was... She, like, wasn't afraid to be like, what the fuck is going on here?
She knows where her bread is buttered.
Yeah.
So she and Kyle have a laugh about Sutton's teensy little esophagus.
Mm-hmm.
And Anne Marie is basically like, I've never heard of, like, a small esophagus. Like,
she's like, I do this every day when I put people to sleep. I basically shove an air tube down their
fucking gullets.
And she goes, this is my bread and butter. And I don't know what she's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I think Sutton's teeny esophagus should be like a cartoon.
It should be. It's like Schoolhouse Rock.
Yeah. I'm just a bill.
Dorit and PK have a argument about homeschooling their kids for the rest of their
lives. But back at the pub at the sports bar, Garcelle jokes that Sutton's going to have her foot amputated.
Because I was reading about neuropathy. Oh, because that's something that Kyle brought up too, which is like, I don't know if it's like she's taking her little leg pills and then drinking on them or whatever, and which is another
such
a Kyle dig.
Not even her leg pills, her little foot pills.
Her foot pills and then having too much to drink or what. And then Garcelle took to Wikipedia to look up neuropathy and she goes, I was reading about it and it said online that some people get so bad they have to have amputations.
And then I was imagining,
why are you telling her this?
I know, don't tell Sutton this, she'll like do it. So PK and Dorit are talking about homeschooling the kids because it makes Dorit feel safer that they're always in the house instead of because of the home invasion.
Yeah,
which I'm like, and PK's like, no, I want them to be around other kids and socialize. It's important for me.
And then Dorit's like, well, he's never around. So then he likes to come around and say what he thinks is right. But really, I'm the one that's here all the time. When I first saw the scene, I was like, let the kids be homeschooled to the gods. But then the more I thought about it, I was like, well, can they even fucking afford like homeschool for the rest, for the entirety of their like...
It's weird. I'm not a parent. But put the kids in school.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Homeschooled kids are weird. Sorry, everyone knows it. You even know it. If you were homeschooled, you're like, I'm fucking weird. That's just like a...
Your kid can be weird, but at least around other kids.
Yeah.
Which is good. Sorry.
It's good to just like...
I'm going to get some DMs saying, rotten hell.
Send them.
Send them.
Send them.
Name them.
Send them.
Send them. Send me straight to hell.
Send them.
Rotten hell.
Rotten hell.
I miss her.
I know.
I gotta be quite honest with you. So, Erica, I wrote Eric. Erica.
Eric goes to Rocco's with Mickey.
Lance Bass's bar, which I need to just say one more time.
You cannot mention Rocco's on
Laura, it was jarring.
Without Carrie. Go ahead.
No, I'm not going to.
No, name him.
Lance Bass, I'll just never forget seeing snipers on the roof of Rocco's WeHo while I was at a BLM protest. It's pretty wild shit. Mm-hmm. Just the National Guard up on Rocco's WeHo while a bunch of gays are just like in the bar.
Yeah.
Craziest thing I've ever seen.
So EJ and Mikey have a business meeting, a business dinner at Rocco's.
And she goes, God, I want to get back in the scene. She goes, I only feel present when I'm performing.
I'm only present. I only know what's going on if I'm on stage.
And the producer goes, you're only present when you're performing.
Choose yes.
And during sex.
But sex, it has to be good. Good sex, not bad sex.
She goes, and I love Vegas. She goes, I've always wanted to live there at some point. When I was 10 years old, I thought, what is this place? What is this sin city that's always open with seafood and surf and turf?
Lobster tails, crab steak. Legs. Showgirls, gambling, I love it. I was like, Jesus Christ, lady. If you get the itch for Vegas, though, like 10. Some people have that Vegas itch, and it just is like really does it for them.
I'd say with
love and light, go to Vegas.
Not to live there, but I've had my 48-hour Vegas itch.
Yeah, I've just never been like, I've always been like, what is this place? Like, it's kind of cool,
it's
but
depressing.
I've never been like glamored by it.
I mean, if doing what you do as a tourist, it gets a little depressing after 2 days.
Yeah, I would say after 2 hours.
She goes, but I need... So they're going to do it...
My
she's
name
being
in lights.
Lightly offered. She's being teased with a potential residency.
Yeah, and she's like, let's get back out there. There's nothing like planning a show, mounting a show. Mikey goes, mounting a show. And she goes, mounting a show.
She goes,
I'm a showman at the end of the day. I'm a hunter. I like to hunt big game. And I don't want to hunt a warthog. I want to hunt an elephant.
And then she goes, and I'm not actually hunting elephants for everyone out there.
I love that analogy.
And then she has a 5-olive martini. I was like, she goes, this salt's going to be the end of me.
I was like, you're telling me. I was like,
sister.
I'm bloated by fucking, by proxy seeing you. I literally was like, my health is at risk watching you take down this sodium-laced 5 olives. I was like, this is a classic Rocco's move to put 5 massive pimento olives on top of a martini. My
I went like
God.
This.
That was me. I could not. I was like, you guys, get out of here.
Cheers to the showmans of the world. Cheers. Cheers to the,
she's
to
like
the
Jack
script.
Kerouac.
She is.
People shine like bright fireworks across the sky. You know
she
that like quote?
Yeah, Laura, that was my fucking yearbook quote.
No, it wasn't.
Yes. Talk about gay. I fucking...
That's truly addiction.
That was literally...
That's truly like you're gonna be an addict. Someday.
No, I know. I was like literally thinking, what quote should I use? And I like, I wish I had followed my heart and done like a quote from the movie Contact.
Yeah.
But instead, I did.
You told on your damn self.
The only people for me are the mad ones.
No, no.
How embarrassing. What was I? I was trying to prove something.
I mean, That it's quote had a lot. It had a huge impact on me too.
I think it was a quote that I'd seen many people use as their senior yearbook quote. So I was kind of following a trend. I've seen that quote used before.
Oh yeah, I mean,
no,
like,
but like it's like a teen thing because you read it during like junior year.
You read it when you're fucking in your mother god crossfaded like phase, and then you're like, fuck yeah.
The only people
for me are the showmen. Are the showmen. Hunters.
The ones that are mad to live.
The ones that aren't afraid to kill. The not warthogs, but elephants. And they fly, fly, fly and mount the show.
The only ones who aren't afraid to mount the show.
I gotta find the quote.
Oh god, it's so cringe.
It's so awful.
It's horrific. And I shudder that every...
I'm so sad that you use that quote.
I know. I wanted to use Jodie Foster saying they should have sent a poet.
I'm really sad. Well, you live and you learn.
You live! You learn!
I'm trying to remember...
It is like a future addict quote.
It is total... You have like a huge drug problem coming, or you're currently going through it. If you're actively putting that quote out into the world as like representative of your vibe.
It wasn't my vibe at all. That's the thing.
That really isn't your vibe.
It's not my vibe at all. Like, truly was
that's
not.
That's also why
I was hanging
shocking.
Out with guys that were like into like Dispatch and like Sublime and like, and I didn't like any. I'm sorry, I didn't like that music. I was like, ugh.
I didn't like that music. Oh, Dispatch.
The
only people for me are. The I'm gonna do the EJ version.
The only people for me.
The only people for me are the showmen, the ones who are ready to mount the shows, ready to.
The only people for me.
The ones who are mad for shows, the ones who want to mount the shows, hunt big game, desirous of everything at the same time, the ones who never yawn or saw commonplace things, but mount like a fabulous showman.
Box across the
burn sky. Across the stage in Vegas with crab legs and lobster galore.
It's literally a quote about people like the worst kind
the
of people.
The only people for me are the mad ones, the ones who are mad to live. Mad
can
to
you
live.
Imagine me?
I'm dying.
Like what was I
love you going.
It was literally the worst.
Fill it out and you go.
It was, I was literally like, this is a lie. As soon as I wrote it, I went, I'm a liar. Like, I mean, yeah, it was the book, like, it was fun to read at the time, but like, if you think about it, he's talking about the worst people you know. He's talking about, like,
he's talking about literally
mother
the
God.
Mother God
he's
members.
Talking about people that, like, won't, that crash in your house and won't leave.
Yeah. The only people for me are the mad ones, the ones who are mad to live, mad to talk, mad to be safe. This is literally Mother God's entire coven. Desirous of everything at the same time, the ones who never yawn or saw a commonplace thing but burn like fabulous yellow Roman candles exploding like spiders across the stars. Cute Mother God going, I know, bitch, tell me about it.
It's like, oh, it's so bad.
It's awful.
Also, Jack Kerouac was an awful person who, like, beat his wife. Like, he was a terrible...
He was a big old drunk.
He was a big old drunk who was, like, repressed and, like, semi-closeted and hated women. But here I am quoting his ass.
I love graduating. The only one...
The only ones to me are the mad ones.
Swim Team O'Donnell.
Swim team captain,
a good boy, a good high school boy.
I was a good boy.
You were a good boy. But going, I... the only one to me. You know, there's something about me that no one knows. The only ones for me are the men.
I was me. God.
Wait, I watched The Family Stone last night, which is always a fun revisit.
So, Sarah Jessica Parker, iconic.
I truly realized that, like, you are Sarah Jessica Parker, like the things that you do and mm-hmm. like your style of performance is literally Sarah Jessica Parker in The Family Stone.
When she goes, my favorite, she's a genius comedic actor. Like I can only dream to be as funny as her. Like she's so funny. But there's a moment
no,
where
but
she
it's
goes,
not even the funny parts that she does, but it's like the little like.
But there's a part when she goes, Claire Danes goes, when she thinks she fucked Luke Wilson, she goes, you didn't. And then she goes, I'm so ashamed. I was like,
you. I literally was laughing.
But I'm like, that's the Sarah Jessica I know and want more of. I didn't know! I love that. I didn't know! They're so mean to her in that.
They're so cruel.
They're a clan. They're
that
awful.
That movie is like not that good either.
Oh,
like
I love it.
I mean, I love it, but it has like a lot of kind of like whole, like you're just like supposed like to believe that these two brothers, they didn't do the work that needed to be done to have this ultimate payoff of like why these brothers love these other girls and swap. Like it doesn't, when you watch it 4 to 5 times, you then as a lover of the movie desire that to be the outcome. But I remember being like, wait, what? Like the first time I watched it, I was like, that's weird.
And I wanted to come in and be like, she's doing her best.
She's trying.
Speaking of dysfunctional families, Dorit and Kyle head to Coldwater Canyon for a nice hike. And then they're talking about the dinner, and Dorit goes, it was a low blow, what Sutton said. And all of a sudden you hear, did someone say low blow? I heard the words low blow.
Lo and behold,
Kim Richards comes waltzing out of the ether.
I truly believe it's the first time she's ever left the house since COVID started.
Yeah, Kyle's like, Kim had a really hard time during the pandemic. She didn't really leave the house, and we were all really worried about her, but she's really been getting out, socializing. Kim goes, all the thing I'm focused on now are my grandbabies and coloring.
She goes, I didn't leave the house, but then I found coloring, and then that, now I have my murals, and then it shows this gorgeous montage of like hand-painted murals.
It's like Henry Darger shit.
Kim has been painting the walls at her house. Most people you would be like, to the asylum you go, but no. With Kim you're like, this is good.
It's outsider art. It's true, incredible. She's mad ones.
If you're Carrie, you go, looks like you're one of the mad ones.
Looks like you're a Roman candle. Burning
God,
across.
You've seen so much. Nothing commonplace. So never a yarn. You burn.
But
like
I think
a Roman
Kyle's
candle.
Like, as long as she's not drinking the popo.
Yeah, as long as she's not on pills dating like a fucking stegosaurus.
As long as she's finger painting on the walls, like, please keep that. And she seems really genuinely happy. Yeah. She seems sober. Mm-hmm. Like, she feels like she's a little kooky, but that's just who she is. But I
love kooky Kim.
I think she's fully sober. I do believe that. And I think she and Kyle have, like, reached some equilibrium.
They seem good with each other.
She's being nurturing of Kyle, which is, like, really rare to see Kim being, like, remembering that she's a sister. Because usually she treats Kyle like shit.
And she says she really wants Kyle and Kathy to make up. Life's too short to be fighting. And
Kyle hasn't met Phoenix. Paris is...
That makes me sad.
Because Paris and her were close, I think.
Yeah. And she just says, like, when she and Kathy are on the outs, she's cut off from, like, that entire side of the family.
And it's... Kyle's daughters are sweet. She's like, are you going to go see Paris? And she's like, if you're not
they
invited...
They ride for her.
They ride for their mama. And Kyle's like... Or Kim goes, I'm going to get emotional. I just want you to make up. I think you both did things you didn't mean to do, and you both hurt each other. But I think you can come to terms. You can make up for it.
You just have to not be on shows together.
Yeah.
You just have to let Kyle be on a show, and you guys can't be on the same show. Or you could have your own shows, and then maybe someone comes on as a guest. But like, you cannot like work together.
I do miss seeing Kyle and Kim together when they're good. There's nothing better than the two
of them.
I would love
than all three of them to be on a show together, but like that would be detrimental for their relationship with each other.
Yeah. I remember when Lisa Vanderpump was on Dancing with the Stars and Kyle and Kim were watching and they were making fun of her and like imitating her dance moves, and it was really funny.
I love it when Kim makes Kyle laugh. Like, yeah, that's the best.
Because no one makes Kyle laugh like that, I don't think. Mm-hmm. It's like, and no one makes you laugh like your siblings.
Yeah.
Well, we did it.
Here's the mad ones.
Here's the mad ones. Let's read the mad ones who are cult members.
These are the mad
you
ones.
You are the mad ones. The mad ones who are mad to live.
Mad to live, mad to breathe.
I own it. That's where I was at.
I love that. I can't even remember what my yearbook quote was. I'm sure it was something cringe. But my school shut down before they published our yearbooks.
Yours said, help me.
They literally were like, submit all the photos that you want in like a collage. And like you had to submit them. Like you had to make your collage yourself.
You had to do the work.
And then like give it to them. And then they would publish it in like the annual yearbook. But they just took it. And then the school shut down. They never sent it back. So we just lost those baby photos and like any semblance of like high school graduation or that period of time.
Amazing.
Yeah.
As it should be.
Okay.
Okay.
All right then. Okay.
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 All right. Cool.
All right. Well.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Read it loud and clear.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Yep.
The only ones for me.
They're the mad ones.
Ooh, the mad ones.
Mad ones. Bad to burn, burn, burn. Like the candles.
Like a candle in the wind.
Like a candle in the wind.
That kills me. You're trying to sell yourself as one of the mad ones.
A mad one? In my dreams. I'm glad I'm not one of the mad ones.
Yeah. I'd be crunchies. The only ones for me are fellow addicts, drug addicts, unstable people.
Who never yawn, yawn, and always burn, burn, burn. Yeah.
Meth heads.
Mentally ill meth heads.
Who never yawn.
Who can't stop driving. Who just get in their car and just can't stop because they're on meth. That's what the context
the
is.
The only ones
they're
for
all
me
on speed.
Are the astronaut lady.
Literally.
In a diaper, driving furiously across the fucking United States.
We were reading this and he's like, we did three trips that summer back and forth. And everyone was like, God, they drove so much. And it's because they were on meth.
On speed.
They're on speed.
They're on Roxy's.
And they're on moon rock.
Little red pills. Sarah Elizabeth. Lucy from London.
Mad one.
Brooke Johansson, fucking mad
she's
one.
She's fucking mad. She's burning.
Brittany Ryan White.
Mad one.
Mad as hell.
Mad.
Danielle McMillan.
Mad one.
Fucking Roman Candle. Lady Swampage gives
no fuck.
Fuck
the most mad one of them all. The biggest burning candle of them all.
Lazara.
Lazara,
she's
mad.
She's never yawned.
She's never yawned. She's never stopped. She keeps going. Molotov. That mad one, that's a top.
Classic.
She's a Molotov, that one.
She's ready to explode across burn, the sky.
Burn, burn, burn like a Roman candle.
Like a fabulous yellow Roman candle. She burns Mary. Oh, so mad. Mad as hell. Exploding like spiders across the fucking sky.
Across the fucking sky.
The only people for me are people like Eliza Twaddle.
It's Eliza Twaddle.
Maisie McGarrity.
Maisie McGarrity.
Desirous of everything at the same time.
Never yawning.
Mike Earhart.
Mike Earhart, of course.
A classic mad one. Mad to talk. And talk he does. Karaoke.
Karaoke.
Another taco. She's mad to be saved. Sharon Ball.
Realtor. The most mad realtor of all.
Oh, I've never known such a mad realtor.
She never stopped.
She never stopped selling.
She never... Mad, mad, mad.
You know who's never seen a commonplace thing in a goddamn life? Courtney Kesselman. How do we, how could we forget Owsley?
Owsley, the maddest of owls.
The maddest of all. He burned,
the maddest
burn, burn.
Balls.
Rochelle Martino.
The mad.
Oh, the mad Kathy West.
The mad, mad Kathy West, the burning Roman fabulous.
Oh, Mariah Kay.
Mariah Kay, of course.
Exploding like a spider. Like a Kit Moore, Kit my Moore, God, my she's God. The only one for me. She's mad to talk, mad to live, mad to be saved. Hillary. Oh, don't even say
Hillary.
Her name. She's so
say
mad.
Say not. Move fast.
Nothing like a mad woman named Hillary. Orlando.
Orlando, of course. The maddest Orlando I've ever did know.
The maddest that's on your mind, Nick Sedaris.
Nick Sedaris, of
he
course.
He runs through that mind
he
of
makes,
yours.
He runs laps around my mind.
Emily.
Kim Lucas.
And of course, the maddest of all.
The maddest of all, Jeffrey Prada Mad.
Jeffrey Madama.
Jeffrey's mad ones. Pradama. Jeffrey Roman Candle Pradama.
That's what all his friends call him.
Cult members.
Guys.
You are all the mad ones.
You are the mad ones. We appreciate
let
you.
Let us know about your cringe yearbook quotes.
Yeah, I need them. We need to submit those in the Patreon comments. Cringe
let's
it
create,
up.
Let's create a combo.
Yeah, let's get it going.
Radical honesty. I was honest. Follow suit.
And with that, we bid you farewell.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Sexy Unique Podcast is created and hosted by me, Lara Marie Shane Halls. This episode was co-hosted by the one and only Carrie O'Donnell. This episode was edited by Ness Smith-Savadoff. If you like what you heard today, please be sure to subscribe to Sexy Unique Podcast on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're craving more sup and just can't get enough and want access to things like bonus episodes, tons of premium content, as well as ad-free episodes of the pod, consider supporting the podcast on Patreon. You can find out more at patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.